Sermon: Faith, Patience, and Hope. North Brighton Town Hall, Australia. February 25th, 1894, 3 p.m. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for them us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans 5, verse 1 to 11. Now we want to present to you the great advantages, the happiness, and the probabilities which are found in Jesus Christ. We do not half understand it. We scarcely comprehend the wonderful gift of the Son of God in our behalf. We read over the Scriptures just as I have read them to you, and we can scarcely comprehend them. They are vast, they are far-reaching, they mean everything to us. They mean that when we were lost, Christ died for us. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verses 14, 15. We want to take this in, that when there was no hope for us, when we were sinners against God, Jesus Christ consented to take the transgression upon his own soul. What hope would there have been for us if he had not done this? What virtue is there in us that God could have accepted our efforts to keep the law? There is no righteousness in us. But the provision was made from the foundation of the world that if transgression came, our substitute and surety was ready to be the substitute of the race if the race fell in consequence of sin. He was ready that moment to take upon himself the penalty of the whole human family, the whole world. The sin of the whole world was upon him. Why then are they not brought to repentance? Why did they not accept the infinite sacrifice that heaven has made their behalf? Why do they not grasp the only provision and hope that is presented in the gospel whereby the sinner can find salvation? Why is it? There is something that stands in the way. We can present the gospel. We can present Jesus Christ. We can present heavenly attractions. We can present the eternal weight of glory. We can present to every sinner who will forsake sin and have faith in Jesus Christ the life promised by Jehovah that measures with the life of God an eternity of blessings. We can present all this, but they must take it by faith, and faith is not sight. And unless they accept the overtures of mercy and the great gift of salvation, their spiritual sight will be blinded by the world, its customs, maxims, and traditions, its pride, vanity, and foolishness. And therefore, they cannot see the glory that is in store for them, for the overcomer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. How much we may increase our faith. In what way? By making the Bible our foundation. We cannot have faith that is of any account if we go to human agents, if we go to man, if we are making flesh our arm, but we can have it by going to the very thing that Christ came into the world to bring before us. What was it? The character of God. And he lived the character of God. He lived it in our world. The character of God is the law, and therefore Christ said, "Not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled." Matthew 5, verse 18. Every specification which Christ has given is life. He came to bring before us the true and perfect character of the law of God, and the Word declares, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. Let us hear from the lips of the greatest teacher the world has ever known. He was giving his sermon upon the mount. The Pharisees had declared that he came to do away with the law. He read what was in their hearts and said, "Think not that I am come to do away with the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He was in the open air, and as he pointed to the heaven and the earth, he said, "For till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Matthew 5, verse 17, 18. God saw the importance of this, and Christ came to draw back the falsehood that it was impossible to keep the law. How did Satan originate this lie? It was because the law of God was covered up by tradition, misinterpretation, and misconstruction. It was the maxims and customs of men that were taught for the law, and so the character of God was hidden. Christ saw that Satan had his own way on the earth, and he came that the rubbish which had been accumulating from generation to generation and from age to age might be removed, and that the law might stand upon its own eternal basis of virtue and purity. This was his work in our world. It was impossible for man to be justified by the law, because there is no power in the law to pardon the transgressor. But what does Jesus do? He gives us his love, and God bestowed all heaven in his one gift to our world. Therefore, there is not left an excuse for anyone living upon the face of the earth to continue in transgression and disobedience, because help has been laid upon one that is mighty to save. When there was no other hope, then Christ himself appeared in behalf of the human race. How is it then that there are so few that will accept of salvation? They do not live the truth. Why? Because no unrighteousness is of the truth, and therefore they do not love it. There is one objection that they do not remove, and they can remove it themselves, but it is impossible for us to remove it. It is that every one should search the Scriptures with their hearts and minds and intelligence, sharpened just as Daniel's was, that they may become wise in the things of God. This is the objection. The ones to whom we address these remarks are alone able to do this. And that is the cross. We read that many believed on Christ, but they did not confess him. John 12, verse 42. What was the matter? For fear that they would be turned out of the Sanhedrin, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We want to bring before every man that we are at this very period of probation working our eternal results. We are working out our eternal destiny. We can do it, but no one else can do it for us. And in order that Satan should not say that God could have done anything more, in order that he should never have this to bring before the heavenly intelligences, the gift could not have been exceeded. The gift of his only begotten Son for a race of rebels. Oh, I am so thankful that God has placed so much precious treasure within our reach. It is the richest promise, it is eternal life, and it is help for us at every step of the way as we travel. He says, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. So it is Christ that we have with us right along. With whom? With those that accept of him as a precious offering. We ought to be the most grateful creatures in the world that it is our privilege to be called high priests of God. But we would certainly not think so by the way the world range themselves under the black banner of the Prince of Darkness. They declare that they are not on the Lord's side, but it is a terrible declaration for them to make after the Lord has given them his precious light that they might be saved from sin, that the cords that bound them to Satan's chariot wheels might be loosed, and that they might be free men and women in Jesus Christ, because they have chosen obedience rather than transgression, and show that they are obedient children. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Can we comprehend this? To be adopted sons and daughters of God. sinners who caused Christ to lay off his royal robe, leave the royal courts, clothe his divinity with humanity, and come to this earth to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. For our sakes he became poor. Do we appreciate this precious gift made, that we shall be lifted up from woe, from degradation, and that we shall be exalted to the throne of God with him? Then come out and be separate. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3, verse 1. That is the trouble. Christ declared that the world is crucified to him, and he unto the world. It is a double crucifixion. When those who see the matchless charms of Jesus take their stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, there are those who say, "You have left me. You have taken a religion that I have no interest in. You're going to stand as a Christian, and I have no interest in Christianity." Things that they love, they cannot make the one who has chosen to be a child of God love. But being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, verse 1, 2. You see, there is an attraction for them that the unbelieving do not understand. Their spiritual understanding is blinded. They do not lay hold of the hope set before them. They are not in living touch with Jesus Christ. Well, is it anything for us to be ashamed of that we stand under the banner of Prince Emmanuel? Do we feel that we want to beg pardon of the world for being a Christian? Do we feel like that because we want to follow the light of the world? We read in John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1, verse 1. And then we read in the 17th chapter, that this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 3. Well then, if we are living in his eternal love, if we can see Christ in his matchless charms in the kingdom of glory, shall we not reveal to the world that we are the happiest people in the world? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verse 3, 4. We want to know what that light is. I have understood what it is for more than 50 years, and oh, how precious it was to me when the gleams of the glory of God came to me first. They thought that I was dead, and there they watched and cried and prayed so long, but to me it was heaven, it was life, and then the world was spread out before me, and I saw darkness like the pall of death. What did it mean? I could see no light. Then I saw a little glimmer of light, and then another, and these lights increased and grew brighter, and multiplied and grew stronger and stronger, till they were the light of the world. These were the believers in Jesus Christ, those that believed in Jesus Christ and took hold of his merits and his righteousness, as it was imparted to them after he had taken away their sins and given to them his righteousness. And the bright beams of the righteousness from above were shining in the hearts and characters of these representatives of Christ in our world. I never thought that I should come to the world again. When my breath came again to my body, but I could not hear anything. Everything was dark. The light and glory that my eyes had rested upon had eclipsed the light, and thus it was for many hours. Then, gradually, I began to recognize the light, and I asked where I was. "You are right here in my house," said the owner of the house. "What, here? I here? Do you not know about it?" Then it all came back to me. Is this to be my home? Have I come here again? Oh, the weight and the burden which came upon my soul. But then grace was given to me, and since that time nothing has cut off the glory that I could behold in Jesus Christ. My eyes have seen him as much as human eyes could see him. God had taken me away to behold his glory. I want you to know that that very sight made me strong, so that nothing in the earth or in human beings would lead me to place my hopes in the earth or in human beings. I could see that Jesus was our only hope, and that to him we can trust everything. He will never leave or forsake us. Here again we read, And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 5. That is the great mystery to me. When all heaven is before us, and we can see that we can obtain the victory through Jesus Christ, why is every living mortal not striving for the victory? He can obtain it through Jesus Christ. There was a man sent from God whose name was Jesus. Why did they not believe on him? What will their excuse be in the judgment? They cannot render an excuse.
When the invitation is given, come, for all things are ready. Come, for all things are ready. The invitation is given, but one says, I have got a wife and cannot come. And another says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And another said, I have bought a yoke of oxen, and therefore I cannot come. These are the excuses that people make today. Now the Master says, not one of these shall taste of my supper. Luke 14, verse 17 to 20, 24. It was, said, to the Jewish nation, and not only they, but every nation under heaven, when, after the light comes and the invitation is given, come, for all things are ready. All things are ready, but they begin with one voice to make excuses why they cannot come. That is the reason why they do not believe. But if they do not taste of the love of God, if they have not their senses clear and undimmed with worldliness and pride and intemperate habits and the fashions and customs of the world, they do not have a little time to consider the question, how is it with my soul? What shall I do in order to be saved? The Bible will tell you that. The trumpet of the Bible gives no uncertain sound. The standard of character is not torn down and trampled in the dust. It is the law of God which shall judge every man. Every man shall be judged according to the deeds done in the body. I want to have a hope that will last, a faith according to the law of God, that all men through him should believe. John 1, verse 7. Now we see that everyone may believe if they will only take the word of God and be obedient to it. John was not that light, but was sent to prepare the way. Oh, the precious light there is in Jesus Christ! I say it in the morning, I say it in the night, I say it all the hours of the day. Precious, precious Jesus, who gave his life. God forbid that I should make him ashamed by the character I present to the world. We read that he was not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2, verse 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1, verse 10. Do you want to link hands with the world and consult its habits and customs and practices? We cannot do this and win souls away from the world or enlist in the army of Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 11. And therefore, Christ says, it was for you to have received the word of life. But since we have not received it, what then? Why, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 13, verse 46. Those that hear the word of God may receive it if they will, but it is a cross. These crosses must be lifted. You cannot trample them under your feet. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. But if we have made up our minds that we cannot always follow in the example that Christ has given us, and that we will do as we please, and go to the theater and all the forbidden places that the Bible gives us no leave to, we shall find a terrible disappointment. Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Who was he? The Prince of Life, the only begotten Son of the Father. Ask Isaiah who he was. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Now we know who we have to lean upon. I ask you if there is anything to be ashamed of in being connected with heaven, to become a member of the royal family and be acquainted with the King. Is there anything in that to bring the blush of shame to your cheek? What we want is the truth, not nonsense. Many stand in the desk and give us their own words and assurance as the Word of God. What we want is the Word as it is in the Scriptures. We want the truth as it is in Christ, and every one of us should look to Christ as our strength and glory and power. But we will read a little further. But as many as received him,
To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 12 to 14. This is the privilege of every one of us. I am so grateful to my Heavenly Father that it is the privilege of every one of us to read the Scriptures for ourselves. I am so grateful that we can search the Word of God for ourselves and know what it says. We need not hang our souls upon any human agent, but hang our helpless souls upon Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to be complete in Him. We want a new and rich experience in Christ. I am an heir of heaven, by whom also we have access into the grace wherein we stand. Romans 5, verse 2.
Oh, says one, I wish I knew certainly that Jesus Christ was my Father. I received a letter as I was coming across the broad waters of the Pacific, saying, Oh, tell me, if you can, what I shall do in order to know that I have Jesus Christ. What can I tell them? Can you tell me, you that have tasted of the power of the world to come, you that know what it is to have a spirit of supplication, and know what it is to lift up your hands by faith and your hearts to God? What is the matter with these people? They want a constant animation, they want to live and feed upon emotion, but feeling is as changeable as the wind. Go to the Word, the pledged Word. Go to the Father with the pledged Word. You said, Lord, if we ask, we shall receive. You said you were more willing to give than we to receive. I believe your word. I cannot give you any new way. God has opened the way for eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. Christ has given his life that we might be saved. He wills not that any man might perish, but that all should come to him and be saved. Christ died for me, and so an infinite price was paid for my salvation. He does not want us to go groaning under the oppression of our sins. He does not want us to go under the galling yoke of oppression and take a terrible burden. That is why we do not see more who are attracted by heaven and Jesus. It is because we misrepresent him. We are slothful servants and therefore do not reap the blessing that we might. By whom also we have access into this grace wherein ye stand. Romans 5, verse 2. Will we not have any more doubts and trials? Just as long as the devil lives, we shall have them. He is working up his devices day and night. Christ said, I will be taken up to Jerusalem and mocked and crucified. Peter did not want to hear any such story. He thought that God would raise him up on a temporal throne, and that he would be a ruler over Israel and deliver them up from their bondage. He forgot himself, and taking Christ, he rebuked him. No, he said, it shall not be thus unto thee. Christ said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. Where was Satan? Right between Christ and Peter, and there he stood, gracing Peter with all his doubts and unbelief. Christ said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Stand back. Satan hath desired thee that he might sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Luke 22, verse 31-32. Christ saw that he would be denied in the judgment hall, and he saw Peter's repentance afterwards when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and wept in an agony of tears. Peter was converted then, and could be safely told to go and feed the sheep and lambs of God. Then Peter could go to the most tempted and tried disciple and know how to help him. We rejoice in hope, not in feeling. In the hope of the glory of God. We know that tribulation worketh patience and experience hope. What does it mean? If we do not feel just as we want to, are we to fly into impatience, speaking those words that show that we have the attributes of Satan? We cannot afford to speak a harsh word or an unkind word because we are standing right in view of the heavenly intelligences, and we are fighting the battle with all the heavenly universe looking upon us. And how we grieve the heart of God when we deny him in any way. The marks of the crucifixion in the hands of Christ show that he has graven us upon the palms of his hands. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5, verse 3-5. Shall we strive for it? Shall we strive for it with all the powers that God has given us, with all the energies that He has given us? By beholding, we shall become changed. See 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. A few mornings since I woke up, and these words were on my lips, by beholding, we shall become changed, and this is the very work that we are to do, to behold Jesus. Do not allow your mind to be absorbed and taken up with worldly things. Have you no time to pray or educate your children? No time to make your household a symbol of the family in heaven? God wants every household to be a symbol of the household in heaven. We are to begin and consecrate ourselves to God. Can we do it without strength? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, verse 6. And all the time He was working out the plan of salvation on the home above, He gave to the world. He was as much the Savior of Abraham and all the patriarchs and prophets as He is ours. There was no hope for them any more than there is for us unless we believe in Jesus Christ. Thus, Christ was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. He was the Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of the whole world. He was to be slain for the sins of the whole world. Oh, I praise God with heart and soul and voice. Abraham saw Him and embraced the promise through Christ. Moses saw Him and endured the sight of Him who is invisible. Noah, the prophet of righteousness, was perfected in his day, and Enoch walked with God. They had advantages in their day, but in our day we have a crucified Savior. Do you leave it there? No, we have a risen Savior. He came up from the grave, and over the rent sepulcher of Joseph He proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. Christ broke the fetters of the tomb and paved the way for everyone to do the same, and came up in the morn of the resurrection, because Christ is their joy and hope. I love Christ. I see in Him matchless charms. I want to be like Him and glorify His name upon the earth. We read that we shall have the Holy Ghost and glory in tribulation, and have joy in Him, because He commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 3-8. And then we read in John 15, "Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments, and abide in His love." Verses 8-10. Will that make you sorrowful? Will you walk in the way that is cast up for the righteous, and water it with your tears? Cover it with your tears? No, 100 times no. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 11. This is just what we want as obedient children. We want to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Well, you say, do you always feel the light in a marked manner? No, I do not always. But when Satan casts his hellish shadow athwart my pathway, I do not look at it or talk of it, and glorify the devil by talking of him and his power, and what a hard time I am having. No, I cleave right through the shadow, and by faith take hold of Jesus Christ. By beholding, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Talk faith. Every doubt you express is a seed sown, and that seed will take root in some heart. We do not want to speak one word of doubt and thus praise the devil for his wonderful power to keep us in subjection. No. Christ has purchased me and redeemed me. Satan has no power over me. I am free in Christ Jesus because I believe in Him. Satan says to you, "You are a sinner and have no need to pray any longer." But that is why I need to pray. That is why I need a Savior. Should I say because I have sinned that I will not come to Christ till I make myself better? No, for that will be never. Christ declares that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9, verse 13. It is my privilege to lay hold of the sacrifice that has been made for me at an infinite cost. I take hold of Jesus Christ as my Savior and commit the keeping of my soul unto him as unto a faithful Redeemer. He will keep that which I have committed unto him in trust against that day. Praise God! I want every one of you to consider if it is not time for you to think of what God has done for you and look over the history of the many things you know he has done for you. Praise him that the angels of God guard you from dangers on the right and on the left. He has given you food and raiment. Praise God for these tokens of his goodness. Praise God. And if you cannot think of anything in your life to be thankful for, praise him that he has been merciful to you. There is one thing that covers everything else. He gave us Jesus Christ because he loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3, verse 16. Oh, praise the Lord in your hearts, and teach your tongues to praise him. Seek the gifts of God, take his precious words, and hang them in memory's hall. And when you do that, look upon them, talk of them, praise God for them, and then the hellish shadow will not interpose between you and your God. We may every one of us have this rich experience to give to the world, that we know God and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. Oh, let it be seen in the world that he has given you tongues and utterances, and you will praise him with your hearts and souls and voices. You are then making melody to God in your hearts, and when the call comes, child, come up higher. When you enter the city of God through the gates that will sweep back on their glittering hinges, you will know just where to take up the immortal song. You will hear the music and know that the warfare is accomplished, and you will hear the voice of the Master. Welcome thou into the joy of thy Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Matthew 25, verse 21. You will know just where to begin that song. You learned it here. You are not to groan and complain, but be learners in the school of Christ, of his meekness and lowliness. We want to bear his yoke. He says that it is easy, and that his burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 30. And if you have found it so, you know just how to catch the strains as the angel leads the heavenly choir. You will take the golden harp and fill all heaven with rich music to the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for our transgression. You will cast your glittering crowns at his feet. Then have faith and patience and hope, and you will gain the richest experience. You will be a light to the world, and they, seeing your good works, will glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to meet you among the throng in the kingdom of glory. I want to see your faces all illuminated with the glory of God. I want them to shine with the image of Jesus reflected in you. All your sorrows will be ended, and you will be free indeed. No more sorrow and sin, but it will be joy, eternal joy, through the eternal ages.